But the problem, again, is that I really think that, that introduces two problems. One, you've broken up with someone and you have to explain that you have to leave because your mom's waiting in the driveway.
Yeah.
Not good. And two, then they're going to think about the fact that they were broken up with in that in their home where they have to look at that spot.
Safe
and that could
space.
Bother them for
yeah.
weeks. I mean, that could bother them for a while.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MFR.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determined once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello, and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story, and we decide if they were in the right or the wrong.
Now, Sterling, I know we have a lot of people out there listening who have probably exhibited a lot of bad behavior, and they're dealing with that and reconciling that. And they're like, what can I do on my own to quell the sadness in my heart of committing such bad behavior? And I have the perfect idea.
Really? Do you?
Yeah. It is donating to my fundraiser for my short film, Farther Along. If you just donate just a couple of bucks towards that, I tell you that bad behavior will
just flies right off.
Flies off your shoulder because you're helping a youngish creative make his dream come true. So
you're helping a young teen. Who just is trying to get a leg into the entertainment industry, have his dream finally come true. No, it is such an exciting project and seriously an amazing script that I've read, and I can't wait to see how it turns out. So if you're able to, Blair is fundraising this next month. So if you're able to give or share with a friend, please do that. And the link is in our episode description and in Blair's Instagram bio. Okay, so I'm trying to think of what ways you could relieve your guilt this week for me.
You're talking to the audience, right? Not me, specifically.
Yeah.
Okay, it was just the direct eye contact. I was like, I already have anxiety from my fundraiser. Can you give this to the audience?
This is what I would love the audience to do, is help me investigate a little situation.
Okay.
Blair, I didn't even tell you this. Okay.
Okay.
I had my amazing Phones Down comedy show last week. And that's a show where I share like an embarrassing thing from my phone. And I'm always pulling like from my deep past that I'm like,
yeah, from
it's
the
not like going to be that much of an issue. And I blur a lot of things out, right?
Yeah.
This past time, I showed a video from when I went to this like filmmaking camp. And it was like a music video I had been in with this like, you know, other kids in my camp. Anyways, it was like so humiliating. Like the message is truly like so 2008. It's like I'm like desperately like have a crush on this guy who doesn't care if I live or die, and he likes this other girl. But then the other girl at the end of the music video turns out to have a boyfriend, so he like begrudgingly talks to me, you know. And I'm like, that is true love. That's kind of the gist of the video.
Okay.
Anyways,
sure.
We had an amazing time. I showed it again. This is a small venue. I did this show in. There's not that many people. Like there's people in the audience, but not like so many. Uh-huh. I filmed this also in New York City in 2009, I think. Okay.
Okay. So it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Days later, I get an Instagram DM from the guy I had in the music video, who is my love interest, who again, I haven't seen since 2009 at a 1 week summer camp. And he's like, hey, long time no talk. This is so random, but my friend was at your comedy show and I think you showed a music video that I was in. This town, I've been saying it since I arrived here, is the smallest town that's literally ever been invented. There's five
people
here.
Can you send me the video? I really want to see it.
Yeah, I'll send you the video.
Okay.
It's truly insane. It is so insane. And I'm, yeah, you'll see it. But, and I guess listeners, if you are desperate also to watch the video, I'll send it. Just
should we
DM
post
me.
It? Should we post it on the Instagram?
Yeah, we could post it on the Instagram.
Okay.
And,
maybe not on the grid. Maybe the stories.
Yeah, on the story. So check out our story. But yeah, anyways, so then I'm now kind of like, well, who the heck is this friend? Because I feel like I knew everyone at the show. So I message back. I send him the video. And I'm like, that's so crazy. Like that, whatever. No response. So now I'm like, wait, what's happening? So anyways, what I would like
Do some
Nicole
digging.
Starts to figure out who this friend is that came to my comedy show and took a picture of me doing my famous stand-up comedy set and sent it to the person I was doing it about, iconic behavior. And here's the thing. I wasn't really doing it about him. Like, he was just in the video. But
yeah,
is that not literally so crazy?
That is crazy. But I think that's a really good homework project for our listening audience, to donate to my campaign and to do some digging, do some spy work.
Okay. Well, something else that is wild as hell that we have my dear friend on today, who hosts a spectacular college football podcast where they actually know a thing or two. So definitely go check that out if you don't want to just listen to little dummies like us. So you guys, please welcome our guest today, the co-host of the famous college football podcast Split Zone Duo, as well as a writer for Slate and GQ. Please welcome my friend, Alex Kirshner.
Wow, Alex. What an amazing treat that we have you on Bad Behavior today. Zooming in live from Los Angeles.
Yeah, and Sterling, I gotta say, I'm very jealous that you are actually in the hot zone with him. You know, the set.
Sure. The hot zone.
You're in the arena with me.
That's in the good. Arena.
That's good.
We're the Thunderdome.
We're in the Thunderdome live from Alex Kirshner's Split Zone Duo headquarters.
But you do have to admit, there's a lot of hot football players. So what I said was technically correct.
Absolutely.
Because the hot zone.
Tons of hot football players. It's a sport where the pants are tight.
Mm-hmm.
The men are large.
Yeah.
There are balls flying around.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
So true. And now, Blair, can you tell listeners, Blair's arrived today live from his New York City studio, aka his apartment. And he's actually wearing a football uniform kind of for you on the podcast.
Thank you. Makes me feel right at home.
Now, what is this that you own?
This is actually, my father was very sportsy. So needless to say, he was very proud when I came along because I did not play sports. But he was a football player, and this is his jersey from the 60s.
Wow.
Wow.
Where did he play football?
Well, in high school.
At what high school? I might know it.
He played for Jefferson High School, graduate of 65.
Of course. I know that team.
Oh, yeah.
Those boys were thunderous.
But yeah, I just wanted to make you feel comfortable because sports is your thing, and I want to feel like I'm a part of your thing.
I'm honored that you're part of my thing. You can be part of my thing any day.
And I'm sorry that Sterling didn't rise to the occasion.
I know. I am sorry. We actually hadn't talked before, as I didn't know we were kind of doing, I hate to be this, a Halloween episode. We're dressing up for our guests.
I actually have a Pittsburgh Steelers high heel over there on my shelf, which you could wear if you wanted to.
Oh, okay.
It was an engagement present from my parents.
That's beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Okay, wow. You know,
why they thought that would be the right gift, but it's nice. It's right there.
Okay, well, Alex, speaking of engagement, I'm so glad you brought that up. Because I do feel like there is an elephant in the room. There's something we need to address. And listeners, in case you didn't follow along to, I would say, the viral story of last fall, it is that Alex got engaged to my dear friend Molly. And I got to play a special part in this engagement.
Yes. Yes.
You kindly asked my friend and I to be for the photographers in the bush. I think.
Oh wait, this was the engagement that you took pictures for?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sometimes I don't listen.
Yes, I let you hike up that mountain, hide in the thorny bush, do a scouting trip as well, where you had to do that in worse weather. I let you do that, and you're welcome that you did that. So no problem.
My friend and I hid in a bush. We took. And I would say we're not known to be photographers, right? We're just kind of your average girls. But we took photos. It was blaring sun that day. We couldn't quite see where we were taking photos, but we tried our best. And I think we captured the moment. However,
you
Alex,
couldn't see. How were you on the sun?
Yeah, we were standing on the star of the sun.
At a high point.
It was like kind of like early afternoon, sun going down. We're on the top of the mountain. That sun can be strong and it can go right shooting into your eyes.
I don't like to go outside. I try to avoid it at all costs.
Well, of course. So basically, we take these photos, capture an amazing moment. You guys get engaged,
yes.
No mishaps, incredible. And then you post these photos on Twitter. And Alex has a bit of a presence on Twitter, verified even.
Well, that's not worth what it used to be.
Do you pay for it?
Diminishing returns.
We can bleep it.
I think I do now pay for it because I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
I was hugely embarrassed about it, but I needed TweetDeck for my work last fall. And when they put TweetDeck, the kind of power user column platform behind it, I was like, well, Elon, you son of a bitch. Well, you got me. But the thing is, I think I now get paid like $10 a month or $12 a month in that, like, your tweets are good advertising thing. So it's like basically revenue neutral. Like, I think there have been a few months where I've even made like $7, $8.
Wow.
Because of my you're making your money back.
I mean, I'm costing them money. I'm actually doing praxis by being there.
Okay, amazing. So, Alex, walk us through what happened. You decided to post some photos on Twitter that I had been the photographer for. And what ensued?
There were people who were really mean about your work. There were people who said things to the effect of, wow, your photographers really blew it. And I was like, I think they're nice.
They actually called for my resignation. They said, fire this person.
I mean, how bad were they? Can you explain for the listening audience?
They were perfectly good. I think you can sort of see that there's like the shadow of someone's arm taking the picture, but
yeah,
so I don't know what choice you had.
You could see
you had to stay hidden, so you had to reach out from around the bush with
our shadows, and you could see a thumb.
Well, in your defense, Sterling, it was a blaringly hot sunny day. So sometimes you're not aware of where your fingers are, because if you're looking at the phone, you're trying to focus.
Okay, do you see this?
You can see there's
this?
The hands.
That's me. That's my shadow.
I mean, it is very prominent.
That's...
And it's more prominent when you zoom in like that.
Yeah, and most of them, there's actually a thumb down there, but I think you cropped that out. So anyways, that happened. We went viral. Some could say.
Yeah, like, you know, 300, 400 likes.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we did get called for our resignation, and I have to be like this. I haven't been asked to take another engagement photo.
It's a classic underrated story.
Yeah.
I think you demonstrated solid ability. I would give it, for an amateur, 8 out of 10. For a professional,
amazing.
For a professional, 2 out of 10.
Well, yeah.
Which is better than a lot of people would do who are not professionals.
Totally.
You landed the plane without having been to flight school. I thought it was very good.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 is very high. And I think you need to take that a step further and show Sterling how much you believe in her by having her actually take photos at your wedding.
I think we might. We actually haven't hired a videographer. They're pretty pricey.
Well, that'll be good because breaking news, I'm officiating. At least of now, I could get fired.
Unlikely.
I could be selfieing in, kind of selfie stick.
But think of that personal touch. You have the edge over everyone else. Now that's your viral moment.
Well, okay, wait, Blair. So also breaking news on the pod. Blair just officiated a wedding this past weekend, and I haven't even got to.
No way.
What happened? Do you have any tips for me for Alex's wedding? And also, Alex, you just officiated a wedding, actually.
I just officiated my second wedding, and I have my third coming up in like 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. We have three officiants in the room. Blair, what have you learned? How'd you do? Did you get them to the end?
Yes, I successfully ended them. And so that's always great. I will say, you know, find out if it's an indoor wedding or an outdoor wedding. And if it's an outdoor wedding, specify the time of year, because that can be dicey. As a man who doesn't like to wear suits, I had to wear a suit because I did have a choir robe because I thought that would be very regal. And I was, my life was threatened. So I didn't do that.
A choir robe? You wore a choir robe?
Well, it looked like I mean, people said it was a choir robe, but it looked very like holy, you know, like a holy robe. So I thought that would really drive the point home. But I did not. I wore a suit, but it was so hot outside. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I do not look good wet or windblown. Mm-hmm. So I was fighting with the wetness, which was not great. So that's something you should always look into. That's my advice.
Okay. And Alex, what's advice? How was your last officiating? And are you doing something different for your next one?
I think my two pieces of advice are, one, you should interview the couple separately for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Should do that a little bit far out from the wedding so they forget what they told you. So it's more of a surprise.
That's good.
When it comes back to the actual day. And, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to make their wedding all about you. Because really...
That's a good point.
You're the only person actually working other than the actual staff.
Well, there's a few other people.
Well, the staff are working. The staff are working. But in terms of the unpaid guests, I mean, you are the only one who actually has a job to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's really very straightforward. You just kind of stand up there. You get married. They don't have a public speaking engagement when they're getting married.
Sure.
And something else to realize, you know, some weddings I've been to have been so long and so boring. So I think the audience wants a little showmanship.
They do want a little show. And that's why you can't do a 5-minuter. You can't do a 25-minuter. That's long. But you got to give them at least 12 to 15. They came for a show. They didn't come for a little drive-by. And so you have to give them a little something-something to just sort of make it feel earned when you get to cocktail hour.
Yeah. Mm. Now, I will say, for my niece's wedding, because that's who that's the wedding I last performed. I had to come out and say, could you please not take pictures before? I said it nicely, but, you know, I had to do the spiel. And then I was like, all right, let's rock this show. I'm paraphrasing.
Wait, they couldn't take photos?
Well, they wanted the photos at the service. They wanted to be the first to share from the actual service. So they just asked that people not take photos during the service.
I had to make the same announcement.
Oh.
Yeah, the pre-procession. The professionals are taking the pictures, so don't ruin it for them.
Oh, no photos out.
Yeah, you
got to
tell people cocktail hour is over there.
Yeah, I guess I've never had my phone out during a service.
But you can actually mess. I actually messed up mine at the last one because I told everyone, you know, stand for the bride and then be seated. And I'll tell you when to be seated when everyone's up here. And then I forgot to tell them to be seated. So for the first like 15 seconds, everyone was just still standing.
They're like, we're getting our workout
in. The bridesmaids, to their credit, were sitting in the front row and I think got the gist that everyone should be seated and made them all sit.
That's good. Yeah. The girls are on it.
But what was so funny, speaking about like, you know, work in the crowd, is like after I gave my little spiel, they were supposed to start the music and they enter. But he was having trouble. Like the connection was bad and the song kept skipping. So it was maybe like 3 minutes of awkward start and stops of songs and then silence. So basically, I was just like, hey, guys, we, you know, this is a special moment. So we really want to build up the anticipation. So this is what we're doing. It's all part of the thing. Just sit back and relax.
That's good. Your improv skills coming to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we jump into our game today, that's going to be a special game. We have one question we always ask guests on our podcast.
Yes.
Alex, you've run many a marathon.
I would say I've run the smallest amount that you could run that it would still be classified as plural.
Two. Alex, you've run 2 marathons, which is way more than Blair and I.
Yeah.
So our question today, Alex, what are you running from?
Yeah. Get him.
My demons. My diet.
Your demons in your diet?
My lust for gin.
Huh.
I'm running from all of these things.
Okay. Demons, genetics? Diet, and lust for gin is what you've been running from.
Demons, diet, gin, genetics. Running from all four.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And that was our final question.
Thank you. Now we're going to use all that information against you when it comes time to judge.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Totally fair.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, Alex, as you know, as an avid listener and fan of the podcast, we play a game on this podcast called Heaven or Hell.
Yeah. That was me proving that I do listen.
Oh, my God. You're finishing each other's sandwiches.
And so, Alex, you're obviously known for your hit podcast, Split Zone Duo, in which you dissect different college football games, the culture, everything kind of going on in that world. As Blair and I kind of have maybe shown today, we aren't the most knowledgeable.
I'm wearing
football.
A sports jersey.
That's true.
He is wearing
that's one. True. But we have decided today that our topic for Heaven or Hell today is going to be various football etiquette. And you're going to decide if you're kind of loving, hating, or indifferent, aka heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Okay.
Players doing a little dance in the end zone.
Individual expression is so important in this country, especially with, you know, the Supreme Court and everything. So you really need outlets for creativity and for people to be themselves. And so when Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings goes down and does the gritty in the end zone.
Of course.
He is in a way, doing a little act of resistance against this rigid society that we've constructed for ourselves.
That's beautiful.
Say it again. Say it loud and proud.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like a player should stick to one particular dance? Everyone knows kind of Travis Kelce has his little, and I know he's not college football, but he's got his little archer. Now, do you think they should be changing it up, or should each person kind of have their one dance move?
I think this is heaven, but it could become purgatory if you do it wrong. I think it's heaven if you have a trademark dance like the Gritty or like Travis Kelce's archery. And it's heaven if you do a different choreographed bit every time. Like if you get all your teammates lined up and then you bowl them over with an invisible bowling ball, or you shoot them like skeet and they all fall down firing squad style. That's heaven.
Okay.
Where it becomes a bit purgatory is if you just do something different every time that isn't yours.
Can I ask if you had the choice to do a dance in the end zone after, you know, getting that ball there, what would your go-to movement be?
You know, I think I would try to get my teammates involved. Did you guys ever see the movie The Human Centipede, that horror flick that came out?
I can't.
No, but I know the concept. You know,
I think we would get all 11 of us and we would reenact that.
Whoa.
I think from the movie it was only 3, but just imagine, you know?
You know what? I love that.
I mean, that would be certainly 15 yards for unsportsmanlike conduct. There's no question about it.
Sure.
Probably
sure,
a hefty sure, fine sure. from the NFL as well.
Yeah. But,
and honestly, a bold move. A bunch of sweaty dudes. I mean, where you're having to put your face is...
Right.
You got a face mask there for protection, obviously.
But do you... It's open, right?
It's fairly open.
Sure.
It's fairly open.
Sure. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Well, hopefully, yeah. I'm sure like a huge amount of players listen to this podcast. And so maybe they'll kind of, I don't know... Take note.
It's on the table.
Yeah.
Paying $40 for a beer and dry chicken tenders.
Hell. Although I've done it.
Sure.
How many times?
Most times that I've gone to an NFL game. I will say that once you're inside the stadium, the chicken tender and fry basket is some of the best value that you will find.
It is the best value. That is true.
Like you could pay, let's say it's $16 for that or $20 for a single beer.
Yeah.
And give me the $16 chicken tender and fries, and they're going to be dry. They are not going to be moist.
Yeah.
But I would say hell, but you know, maybe the correct answer is purgatory because it's the best you can do.
So true.
Is there a particular stadium that would have the best tenders?
This is a good question.
Thank you.
And I would say the answer is this. An NFL stadium is going to have better than a college stadium because an NFL stadium is likelier to also be serving alcohol that will make it taste better.
There it is.
Okay.
College stadiums do now. Many of them do serve beer, but there are still some that you can't buy a beer at a college football game. There's plenty of those.
Okay. Number 3, a random person not knowing anything about football and winning your fantasy league.
Hell. And it happens.
Well, yeah.
More than you'd think.
I would say our good friend Noel Grace is constantly winning, and she knows some stuff.
Yeah.
But she's going against maybe people that are actually watching the games.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, it's a major blow to the egos of the players involved. I would say that it's less of a big blow to fragile masculinity in this country than when a girl who knows ball beats your ass in fantasy football. That's happened in my league the last couple of years. Mm. We have 12 players in the league, one woman. She has been the best team in the league over the last 2 years.
Well, good.
And there's no luck involved. Like she's just a much savvier player.
Yeah.
And I would say that, of course, we are all extremely progressive, so this doesn't bother us at all.
Right.
But there are leagues where I imagine they're full of people who aren't like us.
Sure.
Guys that I wouldn't respect who cannot deal with that.
Mm.
And it's guys like that that make us grateful for guys like us who are okay with it.
it's so good to be grateful for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be.
You gotta be.
What would we do?
Yes.
God, I feel great right now. Okay, number 4. USC building an entire building dedicated to their football trophies and not having enough money to build a theater school.
This one hits home for me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so tread lightly.
Is a tax deduction heaven or hell?
Mm.
This is the silliest thing about college football is that everyone has these glistening cathedral-like facilities, not even their stadiums where they play the games, but just the practice facilities.
Yep.
And the reason that they have those is because the players don't get paid any money.
Right.
But it would look kind of bad if you had a big profit on your books at the end of the year. But also, like, you're not going to, like, fund a fucking library or, like, free lunches for students. Like, you're not going to do that. So you have to put it somewhere. And so you get a facility with iPads in the lockers and waterfalls And the players don't get paid by the school, but they do get, you know, nice tablets, I suppose.
Sure, sure.
Free barbershop, typically, in the facilities now.
Wow. Okay. That could be huge.
So you don't care about theater kids as well.
Yeah, you didn't care about theater kids. Or you think we would just not get that money either way. It was just hard walking to past a whole building that was full of awards that no one was going inside, just housed awards. And I would walk to the physical education building where my theater classes were held. And let's remember, I went to University of Southern California. We're known for our theater and film.
What? You don't like to walk past O.J. Simpson's Heisman Trophy?
Of course I loved that. That's why I attended the school.
He was in Naked Gun. And he also murdered someone. But still, he was in the Naked Gun series.
Allegedly. Two people.
Allegedly. Thank you. Thank you very much. I crossed a line.
I'm back in time.
O.J. Simpson, the NBC commentator?
I was like, wait, what? It was hard for me at college because basically all the players would be riding around on hoverboards. And then we would be begging to have a classroom. And I was like, something's going on because we're actually paying the most money you've ever heard of to go to this college. And it seems like there is money here. Yeah.
And what if I told you that USC hasn't even won anything of note in like 20 years?
Well, I would throw my chair. I can't even believe that. Yeah. But I've been hearing this year we're taking home the Rose Bowl. And is that what we're still playing for?
It is. It exists. The Rose Bowl still exists. It is part of the postseason of college football. And if USC is good, then they could get to play there.
Amazing.
Can I do have a hot take about that. I think the Rose Parade is so boring.
Yeah, I went to the Rose Bowl last year. I skipped the parade.
I didn't even know. What's the parade for?
They do it on New Year's Day.
It's for the people of Pasadena.
Yeah, it's boring.
And you watch it? It's on TV?
I don't, but sometimes growing up, it was on when we were taking down the Christmas tree. But I was like, this is not the Macy's parade. This is not my parade.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
No.
I wasn't gay enough.
If there's one thing that the Rose Bowl isn't, it's definitely not gay enough. That is so true. Okay, Blair, you want to go to our next one?
I would love to. Number 5, waking up at the crack of dawn to reserve your spot at a college tailgate.
Hell, you have someone else do it for you.
Totally. Okay, Blair?
Taylor Swift not performing at the 2025 Super Bowl, despite comedian Zach Schiffman predicting she would last September on this very podcast.
Hell.
Yep.
We had a huge prediction last fall when comedian Zach Schiffman came on our podcast and was like, I guarantee you she'll be performing.
And he sold me on it.
He's like, her Pepsi contract is up or what, all these things. Not happening.
She doesn't need it. The Super Bowl halftime show, remember, is not a paid
But maybe
gig.
We need it.
We might need it.
Oh, unpaid.
But the Super Bowl halftime show is the one thing in the world that can turn Rihanna or Eminem or Pick or the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Bruno Mars. I actually don't think the Chili Peppers did a halftime show. But it's the only thing in the world, the Super Bowl halftime show, that can turn a platinum recording artist into – like a millennial podcaster. You'll work for exposure. It's the only thing that can do it.
Wow. Whoa.
It's tough.
Interesting.
The NFL is it's way too powerful. Probably should be nationalized.
Who would you say, both of you, who would you say is your favorite Super Bowl show?
It's got to be Beyonce.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. The one that came to mind first, because it's like a little more recent, I feel like the Shakira J-Lo one was fun.
Yeah. I'm going to say Maroon 5. Boy, it sexy. He took his shirt off.
I think that's what I was looking for when I said Red Hot Chili Peppers was Maroon 5.
You like that guy?
Yeah, I do. Some of those songs really connect. But I'm old, and that's of a generation that is very that. Yeah. And, you know, I got to say, sometimes he does it for me. You know, I got to speak my truth, you know?
Blair, do you think that She Will Be Loved is a happy song or a sad song?
I feel like it's sad.
Yeah, it has to be
sad. I've never understood this. People think it's a sad song. Is it not a promise that she will... in fact, be loved?
Well, I feel like her life is really depressing. And so that.
And if you saw the music video, it was so much drama. Look it up.
Okay.
I will say, when I used to work for a radio station, I was working an overnight shift, and it was a Saturday night into Sunday. And this woman called in. She was a little drunk, very sad. She proceeded to tell me about how her life was terrible. And she'll never find love. So that's why she wants to hear She Will Be Loved. So that's why I associate the sadness is this random woman in Virginia who was very sad on a
Saturday.
The
other hand, it was her pick-me-up that she would be loved one day.
Did you play that recording on live on air? She called live on air to tell you how sad she was?
Well, we recorded the call and I played it back. It was 3 a.m. Who was listening?
Oh my God. Wow. I hope that woman is loved to this day. I hope she found love. Yeah. Do we have one more left, Blair?
Yes, our grand finale.
Okay.
When your partner schedules a date for you when your team's big game is on.
Heaven, because there's nothing more important than quality time.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's amazing.
This seems like a political answer, is it?
No.
Okay.
That is so perfect. Wow. Well, Alex, with that final answer, I think you won the game.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That was an amazing heaven or hell.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's something that's been on your mind, where it's hard to tell if you were in the right or the wrong. And Blair and I are etiquette experts, and so we're going to be here to help you decide if you exhibited good or bad behavior. So whenever you're ready, you can launch on in.
Tough to be in the hot seat. We truly are in the arena right now.
We are in the arena.
All eyes on you.
All eyes on you.
So when I was...
It's like a Maroon 5 show.
Yeah. When I was 16, had my first high school girlfriend. First girlfriend, period.
Didn't
have a preschool really or elementary school either. So, or middle school. So, first girlfriend, high school.
Okay.
She's very kind. We'll call her Amy.
Sure.
And, you know, we met at the midnight premiere of the Harry Potter 7 Part 1 movie.
So classic.
It's a classic story. Yeah. She was dressed as Dobby the House Elf. I was in my Daily Prophet newspaper shirt. Sure. I mean.
And you saw that house elf and you said, whoa.
Absolutely. I mean, Dobby's heroic in those films. Sure. So, you know, there was no other thing to think. And, you know, we kicked off a nice relationship. We're together for a total of probably about 6 weeks. So got pretty deep.
Of course.
You know, I wish her well, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, towards the end of this time, I started to realize, I just wasn't really feeling it in that classic way that 16-year-old boys might not be feeling it. Just thought that, you know, I wanted to go do my own thing, sow my wild oats, as you would, as a 16-year-old boy in suburban Pittsburgh. And so I, you know, began to contemplate how I could ethically and appropriately end the relationship.
Okay.
And
you give her a sock.
That's exactly it. You give her a sock.
Harry Potter reference. There, you get it?
Oh, I got it.
Oh, that was a good one, dude.
But it is.
That's how you let a house elf go free, is you give him a sock.
Yep. And then that was the end of J.K. Rowling's story. She never said anything else ever again that would cause anyone to reappraise her. So it was really nice.
Okay,
that she
so just you're contemplating
went away after writing
how
books.
To get rid of poor Amy.
And what I settled on, I was sort of going through a bunch of calculus in my head about what was the right way to do this, was to do it in a specific place in the school to end the relationship. Mm-hmm. I was still on my learner's permit at the time, which was a real complicating factor because can't just drive over and do it at her house. Could have my mom drive me, but I felt like that would be a bit of an indignity to break up with someone and they understand that your mom is waiting for you in the car.
Sure.
I don't think that would really be appropriate. Mm-hmm. Thought about, you know, all manner of like public places where we could meet up, but then you gotta find your way home. And she, you know, she wasn't driving either. Mm-hmm. And it felt like it could cause some public embarrassment. So what I settled on was in the school, specifically in the newspaper lab of the high school newspaper where I was on the newspaper. And I thought that this would be pretty good because she wasn't on the newspaper. And so she would never go back there again. So I wouldn't be like ruining a place for her. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be sullying a hallowed ground mm-hmm. where she could never go again. And so I broke up with her in the school newspaper lab. I don't even remember what I said. It was quick, but I did it right before homeroom one day.
Did you text her, meet me in the newspaper lab?
Yes, I did. Something like that.
And then she got there and she, and then you said what?
And then I'm breaking up with you? You know, I tried to be as kind about it as I could.
Sure.
And obviously,
do you remember exactly what you said?
Yeah, what did you say?
I don't remember. I think I probably said, I feel like I have to end the relationship.
And that was you ending probably. It?
I mean, yeah, I don't think you break up with someone by saying, I break up with you. Like, you don't say it like that. Mm. But, you know, you just say what you're doing. And, you know, so I felt like this was the right thing to do. But the problem was that I didn't really, you know, calculate ahead of time was that after breaking up with her before homeroom, this would obviously be an emotional thing. And then she would be in school the whole day mm-hmm. and class was starting in minutes.
Sure.
And so that was possibly a miscalc on my part. And, you know, we encountered each other numerous times that day in the halls between classes, which wasn't great, wasn't a great look. And so I felt that I was attempting to be ethical mm-hmm. about the end of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And my proof is that I'm now talking about it on a podcast with you, mm-hmm. the most intimate place you can discuss these things. But I'm not sure that it was actually very ethical.
Mm. Because what day of the week was it?
Why I heard it go through the whole day. I don't think it was a Friday. It felt like a Monday or a Tuesday.
Oh, Monday? Mm. I almost feel like it's one of the worst days. Mm.
And so it may have been unkind. But, you know, you're thinking about all these things. You're thinking, like, I don't have a driver's license. It'd be pretty embarrassing to do it at her house.
And also if you're
– I think you owe an in person, don't you?
Well, how many dates did you go on?
I mean, it was a long relationship, like 6 weeks.
Yeah, but is that one date a week or multiple?
We probably went on at least 7 dates. You know, we did, I think, have like a week or two later, we had like a post-mortem.
Oh, my God.
Where we met in person at a different part of the school. And, you know, did like a little kind of like side hug on the way out. Like,
oh,
you know,
that's
hope
so
you're doing
cost.
Well type deal. you know, she was at my graduation. She was a year ahead, but she.
Oh, nice.
She
Alex.
Had been
you're
dating
above.
One of my
wow.
friends.
Dating a
the
cougar.
Next year.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
and
she dated one of your friends the following year?
Yes.
Okay.
And so, of course, I blessed that, obviously.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
And, yeah, of course. Pointing up to the sky. But, you know, it was cordial by that point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's doing quite well now. Very nice person.
Okay.
Probably won't, like, text her and say, I talked about this on a podcast. I don't think I remember anymore. But I probably wouldn't be like, I then discussed this on a podcast.
Well, it's a big hit podcast. So I'm sure it's going
to
get back.
It's going to get back to her. It's
gonna I'm just
there's a decent chance.
Okay, well, this is a good conundrum. This is a good yeah. conundrum. I mean, unfortunately, you're talking to two people.
I have some thoughts on this, yeah.
Who have a hard time with breakups. Mm-hmm. Now, Blair, it was reminding me of a similar scenario, but way worse.
It's the scenario I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Our brains are connected right now.
Totally. Are you going to say anything?
No, I just want you to feel the silence and the uncomfortability.
It's starting to weigh on me.
Right okay, now. Good. But you know, we still want to give you the benefit of the doubt and, you know,
yeah.
ask
yeah.
a few probing questions.
Yes, no, totally. Okay, so you had gone on 6 to 7 dates and kissed.
That's right.
Nothing more?
Correct.
We can bleep it. Just kissing.
Correct.
Just kissing. Okay.
Right.
Okay, great.
Now, who asked who out?
It was honest. I think I did, mm-hmm. but it was honestly like a really vibing situation. Like we just were really getting along. Like I remember getting home from the midnight Harry Potter premiere and going on Facebook Messenger mm-hmm. as was she at a very late hour. It was a midnight premiere. I mean, this must have been 3 a.m. We had school yeah. the next day.
Was there like, did the last date take a turn? Like, or did you have eyes on somebody else? Like
no.
why the abrupt ending? Were you just like, I don't know if I'm ready for marriage? Like, what,
yeah.
what was the abrupt ending?
Yeah,
for
it was
you?
That. I wasn't sure if the dowry could be paid in full,
sure,
obviously.
Sure.
These were all considerations. I just think I was like, I was young. I was trying to like make the varsity hockey team. I didn't, by the way. I didn't.
Some,
they put me on
some
JV
might say
that
that's
year.
Karma.
It might have been. I was maybe just so wrapped up in the emotion of the Harry Potter premiere that I wasn't thinking straight. But yeah, it just. I didn't feel like it was the right thing to do to continue. And I feel like if you again, in my defense, but you can probe on this. I felt like if you recognize that you're not going to be that serious about something, you should snip that thing pretty quick.
Mm.
What you should do.
Blair and I feel the opposite. We actually think you should always get married and just write it out.
Even if you just went on one date and someone bought dinner, then that's it. Kids are expected.
It's kind of like, come on. The least you could do is get married, and then you could divorce us later.
It's true. Annulment is actually really easy these days, too.
We just say, come on. Go through with it. Okay.
I had a question, and it just left my head. Give me a moment. Getting there. Got it. Now, when you were considering severing ties with her, did you seek counsel?
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I asked my mom what I should do.
What'd your mom say?
She said the school newspaper.
I think that she blessed my concept of the school newspaper. I think she also offered to drive me over there and do it. But the problem, again, is that I really think that introduces two problems. One, you've broken up with someone and you have to explain that you have to leave because your mom's waiting in the driveway.
Yeah.
Not good. And two, then they're going to think about the fact that they were broken up with in their home where they have to look at that spot.
Safe
and that could
space,
bother them for weeks. I mean, that could bother them for a while.
What was your mom's feelings towards this individual?
I don't know that they'd ever met yet.
Okay.
In fact, they probably hadn't. It's very unlikely. I mean, certainly they didn't meet for more than a have a good time tonight type of meeting.
Okay. All
right. Now, I'm sure, so after this relationship, you were young. I assume you went on some other dates. You are engaged to somebody else that's not her. So I assume you dated a little bit.
It's a good observation. I am.
You dated a little bit. You don't have to go into specifics, but did you learn from this breakup into how not, if you had to break up kind of after this breakup, did you do other tactics or did you continue in the public setting right before either school or
I did
job?
Use different tactics.
Because you said you learned from this
two
mistake.
Other situations. Okay. Yes. But those weren't especially good either. Mm-hmm. I had a girlfriend in Washington, D.C., where I lived for a while after college. And when I ended that relationship, I did so at her apartment, but on her balcony.
So you're going to say on her birthday. I was like, Alex.
But like was trying to like take it to a less used space. Like again, like so that you're not like doing it in a primary living space where they're going to be sitting there all the time and thinking about that exact memory.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So, and then one time I ended a relationship in a bedroom of someone, which, you know, they do inevitably have to go back to that bedroom. It's where you sleep.
You might not want to share anymore because I feel like this isn't really helping your case. But that's...
The point is I'm not sure that there's... I mean, what's the alternative? Telegram?
Yeah, an old-fashioned letter.
I'm not sure...
Are you familiar with carrier pigeons?
You just flee the country.
I recently broke up with a financial advisor and I did that over the phone. That felt okay. That's business.
Fine.
But if I'd have lived in the same city, I would have driven to his office. Okay. I feel like if you're ending a relationship with someone.
I feel like you're living for confrontation.
No, I just think if you're ending a relationship with someone, you should go and speak to them about it.
Okay.
However, should you do it in the school newspaper like before home room? I don't know.
Okay.
Right. Has she ever read a newspaper again?
That's a great point.
She's uninformed.
Honestly, it's very possible that she has not picked up a newspaper since then, given the evolution of the medium since that time.
Wow.
Sterling,
what are you thinking?
This is a tough one.
Oh?
This is a tough one. I think, you know what? It's like there's never a correct way to break up with someone, right? Like everything will always be a little mean. And that's why we always say, famously, say with me, Blair, just
don't do it.
Marry them.
Marry them.
Yeah.
Same sentiment. Yeah.
Just don't do it. Yeah. However, I do feel like, depending on the length of a relationship, a phone call, I've been broken up via a phone call.
How'd you like that?
You know what? I liked it.
Really?
In the moment, I didn't, but I like that one, via phone, you can't see my reaction. I could have a tear in my eye, you will not know, because my voice, steady.
That's a good point.
And I think, allowing someone then to have that time and that space to like be able to contain their own reaction. I think witnessing someone's reaction live in person as the reacting person difficult, because everything is always a surprise. And sometimes when something's a surprise, you can never gauge how your reaction's going to be. And so at least I think a phone call feels personal enough. It's not a text, especially for a length of a relationship that is ultimately just 7 dates. I say, if you're a listener and you are going on 7 dates with me, give me a call.
All right.
But no, I do think, yes, you should break up with someone in person. Obviously, if you're dating for like a long period of time, that would be insane to just call someone out of the blue. But I do feel like I liked what you were thinking of, like, what's a location. I think generally public location, I'm going to say that's a top no-no for me. I think, I hate to be like this, you're a coward because you're obviously doing it in public. So that the other person's reaction isn't big, right? You're like hoping that the public pressure will make sure, unless they're like a toxic person, I think that's kind of cruel.
Sure. No, that's a good point.
To do to somebody, because they don't have like the safe space of maybe going to a room. They just have to publicly sob. No, I did.
It's true. It was a huge failure of mine that I broke up with her in a place that was quasi-private, but where she couldn't stay all day.
Yeah.
And where it was surrounded by not only a public place, but the other school children.
Yeah. I will say my favorite place I was ever broken up with was, even though I was sad in the moment, was with my best friend. I got a text like, can I give you a call? And I turned to her, I go, I'm not feeling good about this. But I thought maybe he'll ask me to be his girlfriend. It could go either way. But I kind of knew it wasn't going to go my way. We got into her bed. I said, hold my hand. And then he called me and he broke up with me. But at least I had my girl right by my side. Sure. We were tucked in. I was holding her hand. And then he broke up with me and I was like, okay, I'm sad, but at least I got my girl next to me. I'm in her bedroom. That's good. Yeah. Have her be at her best friend's bedroom. So it's not her own.
I love that.
But she has the comfort of a home. But she has someone right by her side immediately.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than just being on your own.
Yeah.
And then being like, well, I got to get another person here ASAP.
Yep.
So I think that. Say, hey, could I give you a call later? I have something to talk to you about. It might be best if you go to your best friend's house. So I'm saying this. Unfortunately, Alex, bad behavior.
Yeah.
From me. Okay, Blair.
I'm sorry, Alex, but I'm going to have to echo Sterling's sentiment here. You know, your story activated trauma in me. I'm going to share that story so you feel bad. I was going to work. I was dating someone I worked with.
Yeah.
And now he did have the decency to do it on a Friday, but it was at the end of his day and beginning of my work day.
Oh my goodness. No.
And he was actually going on a long trip with his friends. Plus, kind of the same thing where you're in the same vicinity. I would see him in the halls, kind of like you saw her in the hallway, and it would break my heart. I was so desperate at that time that I even said, hey, I'll jump out of a plane for you. Now, I didn't fucking mean it. I was in a dark place, and I would never jump out of a plane because I don't like shitting myself, nor falling to earth, okay? So, and I feel like, to connect the stories, I feel like probably in that moment, she wanted to shit herself and felt like the air was knocked out of her, like she was falling to earth. And that hurts me, you know? That hurts
me. No, I think you're right. I think that with the benefit of almost 14 years of thinking about it, I think I was wrong on this. Yeah. I was trying.
Yeah, you were
like,
really trying.
I was not trying to like laugh with my boys about how I was mean to this girl because I didn't like her that much. Like I was trying.
Yeah.
But.
And she did find love with your other boy. We do have to remember.
I don't know about love. Maybe a momentary, you know, dalliance.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And they found true love with each other.
Yes.
That is true, but we're focusing on the case at hand.
Yeah. And we always have to obviously do the caveat that you were young.
I feel like if we would have had Reddit back then, I could have totally figured this out.
Yeah.
I feel like I could have gotten advice from our relationships.
Yeah.
Where would it have been? I feel like they would have given it to me straight.
Well, we know that there's obviously a lot of pressure and we want, you know, just because you're bad, we want you to be able to kind of like relieve yourself, release your guilt from this story. And so we have a punishment for you today to read aloud. But I hope in this punishment, you're able to kind of wash your hands, let go, and be like, I'm okay now. I've punished myself enough. I can let this story go.
Bad behavior? Now that's a fumble for old Alex. Sure, there were times during your questioning that I thought, we need to get a ref in here. But look, you had a rock-solid defense, and I wasn't prepared, and I took the L. I feel like I let not only my community down, but also my favorite team, Duke's Blue Devils. I'm sorry. I hope you all do better out there, on the field, this fall, than I did today.
Well, this was a beautiful episode.
Yes.
So much fun. Alex, before we wrap up, can you tell listeners where they can follow, find you, any upcoming things to plug, where they can listen to your podcast, all that jazz?
Yeah. I'm on Instagram at akirshner, K-I-R-S-H-N-E-R. And if you are feeling like you want your college football fix, which I'm betting a ton of your listeners are.
Yeah.
Then I have a college football podcast with two dear partners called Split Zone Duo.
Well, amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Alex.
It's a joy.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.